Let's talk a little more now about some of the basic impulses which motivate or may not motivate pre-clears. And recognize, one, that I am not trying to hang you or your pre-clear up with information. I'm just trying to set up a little set of findings here. I'm not giving you at all a method of existence or anything of the sort. That these things just seem to have held true rather uniformly, straight from the beginning. Ever since I've been in this business, they keep working, and that's the reason we're talking about them. It's not a philosophy of life. To give you an idea what a philosophy of life is, let's take Zeno's Apatheia, which appeared after a while there in Rome. And his philosophy is actually, I think, where we get the word apathy. I'm not too sure about that. I forgot my Latin. They made me a decemvir, and that's an old story. But anyway, the main difficulty with these philosophies are they're something, you see, that somebody is supposed to read and then kind of orient his life by. Well, that's sort of what a philosophy is. And Zeno's Apatheia, that's as it's understood with the public. Actually, philosophy as a subject has many, many branches. It's very complex, but nobody knows about it, so there hasn't been much agreement on it. So you could hardly say that it did that. If you haven't had a widespread agreement on something which wasn't basically true anyhow, why, you could hardly say it was true. All right. Zeno said that whatever you did, you're going to lose anyway. Whatever you did, it didn't matter what you were going to do. You'd lose anyway, so why try? It's a wonderful philosophy. And it was bought by the period. He was the popular boy of the times. Now, let's recognize here that while we were talking about survival, we were talking about states of being. Well, we have a scale here which measures states of being, and that is, of course, pretty old, time-worn, moth-eaten, many times used, often buried, often exhumed scale called the ARC scale. And that ARC scale seems to be holding true, just like survival. It's standing the test of an awful lot of battering. And we find that an individual at the top of this scale would be in a total state of complete serenity and no action. He'd be in a total state of knowingness. He would know everything that was going to happen in the future, his own future, and everything that was going to happen in the past, and so forth, because there wouldn't be any either future or past. He would just know everything there was to know about anything. He wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't have anything to look at all. He would be totally and completely aware. He wouldn't have anything to look at simply because he, you see, was not yet into space. He wouldn't have a problem with space there. He'd have to have some space then in order to look at something or in order to have anything, any particle, change its position in space, which is motion, in order to have any motion at all. Why, he'd have to step down a little bit from the state of knowingness. So we'd get one of our basic considerations on the line, well, I guess I'll be stupid. And the way this is formed is I'll have to look over there to find out. He has to put something over there and then say, what is it? And then put some significance into it in order for it to have significance, because he put it there. But in order to find some significance out of it, he would have had to have put it there in the first place. It's real cute. Now, there's one missing link on this line. How did two such beings doing this get into communication with each other? Was it by accident? As the favorite, that's the favorite explanation of all of the basic exact sciences today. The favorite assumption that starts out all these exact sciences is it was an accident. You ask how life was formed, they say, well, there was a sea of ammonia, and such and so happened, and then there was a spontaneous combustion of something or other, and we had life forming there by accident. Then you go to Sir James Jean, you look this over, and after he's written a large tome, we discover in the end that he figures out that it probably all happened. I don't know if this is James Jean or not offhand. There are three or four such guys. And I think the way he figured it out that it all happened, it was an accidental explosion of one atom formed this universe. And it doesn't seem to me like that's the way to start an exact science, is starting with an accident. And yet, here we are, kind of guilty of the same thing. There isn't any explanation of how anything got into communication with anything else right up there at that band of knowingness. So either the whole theory about knowingness at that end of the scale is wrong, is a total possibility, or two, it was that knowingness duplicating itself which formed all of us, or three, you put out a dimension point, and you had some space, and then somebody else put out a dimension point, and you thought your dimension point was his, and he thought his dimension point was yours, and so after that, you were in communication. And there's a great deal of evidence to support number three, and no evidence to support number two, and a minus amount of evidence to support number one, because there's no evidence on number one at all. And it kind of looks like it happened this way. A fella was knowing everything, and he decided to get stupid. Why did he decide to get stupid? Well, if he knew everything, he'd have every ability, so he'd be able to figure out what was going to happen to him anyhow, and he'd want to enter some randomity in it, so one of the first things he'd do was keep himself from knowing what was going to happen, and in that way he would get a surprise. And getting a surprise consisted of putting out an anchor point, which is to make some space. I have to look over there in order to know. Sooner or later, while he was fooling around doing this, why, something else happened to put an anchor point into that immediate vicinity, and he got a cross interchange of two anchor points. No reason why this couldn't occur. It wouldn't even have to be an accident, actually. But it would mean that life would form up rather slowly, if it's forming up at all, according to time. Because you'd have to have numbers of this sort of thing happening in order to get a large number of beings in conjunction with one another. So he put out an anchor point and looked at it, and somebody else put out an anchor point and looked at it, and in order to get any kind of randomity, then he'd had to have some kind of a basic confusion, you see. And this basic confusion would be, you know, that's my anchor point. Well, he must have known full well it wasn't his anchor point, but he must have said so. So it all starts in with a foreign piece of energy. So he winds up all the way down the line with a non-ownership of the energy with which he is immediately surrounded. Or he saw that the other fellow was putting out an anchor point, and he put out an anchor point, and then gave the other fellow his anchor point as the other fellow's own anchor point, and took the other one in. Totally on agreement. They could actually agree to do this. What a beautiful way. And then they'd forget that they'd done it, and promptly you'd have some action. So, you know, after that, we wouldn't know everything, believe me. So the first consideration is, how can I make myself stupid? And I think a fellow sits stupidly thinking this over longer than anything else that he has ever does. He all up and down the track, you find him sitting there thinking over how he can get more stupid. Yeah. Because this is the perfect way to get stupid. Sit still and think it over. Stimulus response. All right. He poses stupidity, dramatizes stupidity, and then gets about some stupidity. But he'd have to forget that he was doing this by consideration, so there must be a buried postulate. Ha-ha. There must be a buried postulate around here someplace that says, I think I will be stupid now. And it must be in the mechanical form of, I think I will make some space. You see, I think I will be stupid now, must accompany that first piece of space. And there's a process, by the way, that fits this. You ask the fellow to be his first piece of space, then be himself, then be the first piece of space, and be himself, and be the first piece of space, and be himself, and all of a sudden he doesn't feel stupid. Because that's the postulate that's in there. I don't want to know all there is to know. I'm pretending I don't know. And that's the pretense on the track. I'm pretending I don't know. Also, we have to go along with this, I'm pretending that there is something to know that I don't know about. I therefore pretend I don't know, and I pretend that there is something to know that I don't know about. And so, of course, you listen to me talk about Scientology, as it comes down the line, sooner or later, why, just on lecture material and other things alone, or in processing pre-clears or somewhere on a comm lag down the track 6 months, or something of that sort, why, you all of a sudden will recover a little feeling of pretense about the whole thing. You see, a little feeling of pretense. You will get the idea that, why did I do that? What happened was, is I told you enough to jar you into the realization, you see, that it was knowable. And this jar into the realization, you say, oh, well, hell, I'm found out anyhow. You'd be surprised how many people in lectures over these last years and so forth all of a sudden look at me with the most horrified look on their faces and saying, you know, he knows. You know, he knows what I'm doing. And it's upsetting to them. Well, this would be read off by a psychoanalyst as he knows that I raped my baby sister, or he knows this or that. This is a guilt complex, is what he feel under that. No, it isn't that complicated or anywhere near that interesting. And that would simply be this. What does he know? I don't know. Well, he knows that I am pretending I don't know. And that is the total of unknowingness. He knows that I am pretending that I don't know. You see, that's what I know that you don't know. Now, that's the single piece of information that that I do know that you don't know. And yet, as soon as I tell you that, then it kind of sneaks up on you a little bit. You have to kind of kick it into your hip pocket quick. Now, this, then, is the game you're playing with a pre-clear. Well, if you're not instructing a pre-clear in any way, shape, or form, if you're just processing a pre-clear on the various things, why, we don't get into the same relationship that we do in instruction by a heck of a long ways. We can actually instruct and study on a very friendly basis indeed, and so forth. Well, you're not quite in that same position with a pre-clear. Most always with a pre-clear out in the society at large, you are and would continue to be a senior survival mystery. You would continue to be. You are somebody who knows, only he doesn't even know what you know. But you have demonstrated that you can produce a change in this individual. And he is not cognizant of how much you know, so he never has to recover any of his own information, actually, that leads him up to the whole track of agreement, unless you just go right straight through and clear the guy. And you'll get him up just about so far toward clear, and you take a look around him, and he'll say, hey, you know, I'm getting out of agreement around here, and he'll clamp at what he considers to be the general agreement. And that is your block to clear, which jumps in right quick on pre-clears. Now, if this fellow had been raised in a farm full of morons and stoops and so forth, his basic consideration on how smart the world was would put the threshold, or let's put this block to clear, we just called it, he'd put this real low. See, I mean, he put this at IQ 80. And you start fooling around with his case, and you'd get him up to IQ 130, and if he found out this had happened to him suddenly, he'd quickly peg it at 80. Well, that doesn't say he'd even know the numbers. He just knows how dumb the world is. And in other words, how much do you have to not know in order to get along? How much do you have to not know in order to get along? And he will adjudicate this according to his own agreement with the society at large. In other words, on his consideration of how smart or how dumb people are around him. So if he started in basically considering that everybody was brilliant as hell, and he was a little bit more stupid than they were, why, you're liable to find this fellow carrying along at a fairly high level of brilliance, and at the same time, totally convinced that he's below the level of other people's awareness. Whereas if you were to plot this and look at it, you'd find out he believes he's dumb, you see. He believes he's real stupid, and yet he's operating at IQ 212. But what would condition this? It would be his consideration that the world was operating at about 250. So he'd be trying to come up to this level of knowingness. Now, on the other hand, let's say this individual who considered himself terrifically brilliant and the world awfully stupid you know, just terribly stupid, you would find this individual having a tendency to cut down his knowingness. He'll shut it off one way or the other. He'll try to get stupid enough so as to stay into communication. But these are both considerations. How bright is the world? Well, it's here, isn't it? It's really not an interesting consideration. How bright is the world? We don't care. It's here. All right. You say, well, this boy is raised on a farm for boys, and everybody was real dumb, and there were practically no grown-ups around at all except a couple of very, very dumb ones. And we suddenly move this boy from the farm school into a local high school. Holy suffering catfish, is this boy stupid? See, he just has an awful time. So that we get child experts, and there are people around who are not psychologists or anything like it, or anything else, or people who are call themselves psychologists. You might as well call yourself a necromancer or anything else. It wouldn't matter. They're studying, they suppose, children. They all seem to agree on this observation, and that is that a child raised in an orphanage without the presence of adults will consider that... Well, they don't say what they consider. A child raised in an orphanage without the presence of adults will not progress as rapidly in his reading age or in other play abilities or any studies as children who are raised in families where they have parents. And so they attribute this something about parents or lost or abandoned, or then they ride off the hills and far away. The basic observation there happens to be valid, and it's been observed many times. But now let's not... If we don't know anything about the mind, for God's sakes, let's not draw a conclusion on the subject. You know, if we just because we've observed that all dogs walk down the street, we shouldn't immediately say all dogs are Pomeranians. But if we observe that all dogs walk down the streets, let's at least conclude that all dogs walk down the streets until we know some more about a little more about dogs and observe the thing a little bit more. So let's look at children raised in orphanages and find out that they peg their IQ at the level they are led to believe is the world IQ. This is their world. That is the level of agreement. That's how stupid you have to be to see the universe and to get along. That's how stupid you have to be to see the universe. That's how much you have to not know in order to get along. And so they peg it at that. Now, we go along a little bit further, and we discover that a child raised by artistic or very brilliant parents at the age of 6, 7, 8 is liable to be doing the most fantastic things. And this looks normal to him until somebody all of a sudden elects him a child wonder, at which moment he is informed, in so many words, that he is above the level of not knowingness necessary to survival. And he'll only live with this for a while before he'll click his knowingness off. So we get the boy who goes to Harvard. He never knew it was smart to add up 80 figures in a column at a glance. He didn't know that this was particularly terrific. He thought he was right in there pitching along with everybody else, you know. Everybody else just like me, and he went to Harvard, and the professors were all interested in this, and he got it as a nice trick, and it got him some attention and so forth. But in trying to go into associationship with his fellows there, he discovered he was very definitely above their not-know level. Get this now. Don't you ever call this a knowingness level. It's a not-knowingness level. And so he learns this at his vast expense, and he graduates from there, and... we check up on him. What happened to this boy wonder? And we get him 2 or 3 years down the track, and we find him clerking in a grocery store, and the guy in charge of the grocery store can't even make him to make proper change or anything else. See, he won't even touch an adding machine. He just threw. Why? He found out he was above his not knowingness level. He couldn't associate with his fellows. So therefore, he had two choices. He either brought them up to the level of his knowingness, his not knowingness, and he brought them up to the level of his knowingness, or he cut down to their level of not knowingness. He had two choices there. He, of course, failed to make everybody a mathematical genius. So, of course, he had to get stupid. You see? It just follows. Bing, bing, bing. Now, we can, understanding this level of not knowingness as a threshold, we can also understand what we call the block to clear. And understanding it, we can clear it. Which is by what? One of the most elementary processes you could possibly level at this would be a viewpoint creative processing. Not viewpoint straight wire. Viewpoint creative processing. You'd have the pre-clear mock up multitudes of people, each one with an opinion. See that? And we just keep him doing that. That's the most elementary of these processes. You just keep him mocking up multitudes of people, each one with an opinion. So therefore, this individual who was stupid would probably come up the line very well, just as a theoretical test on this thing, subject to being checked, because a broad test has never been taken on this. There are some short tests using Otis short form have been taken on this, but I don't consider that too reliable. We would have this individual mock up vast hordes of people much more intelligent than he was. Vast, vast masses of people, tremendously more intelligent than he was, with a terrifically high not-knowingness level. See? Big, big masses, smart people. And we do this until he altered his own consideration of what he had to not know in order to live. And theoretically, with that process, we would change the IQ of our preclear. What's pegging him? Experience is pegging him. He has only taken a sharp look at maybe a dozen people in his entire life. It's only been borne home to him a few times that other people are alive, much less how smart they are. You could do this terrible disfavor to a child. Go around and be as dumb as he is. That'd be an awful thing to do to a child, because you'd show him that his not knowing this level was terrible, and therefore you'd put his block to clear very low. See? Real low. And you get this boy into the opinion that grown-ups are this smart. Now, there's a couple of practical tests of this thing which I have seen applied and which I've applied myself. I used to talk to my kids in complete razzle-dazzle. I used to use words that you couldn't have stuffed down a horse's throat. I never talked down to a kid, or even vaguely tried to give him any understanding of what I was talking about. That was up to him. That was just tough. I just talked the way I talked, see. That was too bad. And I never had a kid, one, become upset with me, or two, fail to get in there and pitch. And while they're around me, at least, boy, they're sure bright. They didn't make mistakes. When motors had to be fixed or straightened up or something like that, they got straightened up. If the wire was off the spark plug, that was just tough. You said, well, let's see, where's my dark glasses? You're probably something wrong with your eyes or something. You're in horrible condition. What's the matter with you? This little kid doesn't know anything about motors at all. So what the devil's wrong with you? I mean, the motor's sitting right there and spark plug wire's off. Why don't you put it on? What's the matter with you? You'd say, well, heck, you're laying in engrams into this kid all the time. You're saying, you stupid little so-and-so, what the devil's wrong with you? Well, I never ran into that sort of thing. I just attitude. Just attitude. This is how smart you've got to be to live. Look at a kid incredulously and say something about, I'd see a butterfly and say that it was a Lepidoptera or something, or whatever butterflies are called. And the kid look at me, you know, start to protest, saying, you are above the level of not knowingness which I am led to expect from my environment. More or less, like this sort of a look, you know. And I'd say, you don't know all the names of these butterflies around here? We'd take a look at them. Well, do you know their names? Kid sees four or five kinds of butterflies. Doesn't know the names of any of them. Can't even remember the name I said. it doesn't drive him to his dictionary. It doesn't drive him into study. It doesn't drive him into strive. It just makes him raise his not-knowingness threshold. The next time I talk to that kid, he hasn't studied a doggone thing. But he's a fairly savvy kid. His communication level has bettered, which you'd say is quite contrary to what we're led to expect. We're supposed to teach people things gently and so forth and so on. Well, I've tried that, too. You see, I've had a training experience which very few men have had. A lot of men have had this training experience, and they remember it. But they are still not terrifically numerous in the society. I wouldn't say that they comprise more than maybe a half a percent of the society or something like that. And so that's not a numerous experience. But I've had a training experience, which very few people have had. I have had to train ensigns. Now, you see? Now, this just puts me so many cuts above anybody else in training that I experienced. I found out that when you brought the boy aboard and coached him, which is to say validated his ignorance, you might as well have shot him. He'd come on, he'd walk on the bridge, he'd look around, he'd look sort of dazed. Don't tell him how stupid he is. He's just reported aboard. He's just out of indoctrination school. He's just going to take over the gunnery department or something of this sort. He expects he will be permitted at least 8 or 9 months to study the whole doggone thing. And what do we get as the next step? You say, "Mister, get the ship ready to go to sea and go below." He won't forget that. You give him a not-knowingness level which is well in excess of his not-knowingness level. And he'll be a good officer, and he won't make mistakes. Because as their not-knowingness threshold goes down, every behavior characteristic that we have seen on the ARC scale, on the tone scale, manifests itself successively as the not-knowingness level goes down. See that? That is, in itself, the anatomy of the contagion of aberration, and is the basic anatomy of it. If you regard insanity or any other kind of a manifestation in this fashion as otherwise, as some peculiar phenomena which will all of a sudden walk in sideways on you and surprise the devil out of you, you'll have a hard time as an auditor. But if you can recognize that these repetitive scales, the harmonics they're on and so forth, are descriptions of, basically, not-knowingnesses, which people think they have to have in order to survive, then you get some kind of an insight into your preclear. It doesn't matter if he was raised with stupid people and he's bright. That just means that his consideration of these people around him was that they were bright. It's his consideration that counts. Didn't matter that he was raised with brilliant people and considered they were stupid. His not-knowingness level is actually determined by what he believes he is observing, and he is not necessarily observing what he is looking at. Well, this world, by and large, is pretty bright, and these people, by and large, measure it up as pretty stupid. So, you raise your preclear threshold in many ways, and amongst those ways is by being yourself. Not ignorant, even faintly. If you give him a command which sounds very, very intelligent, and he asks what it is, repeat it. So, here is your problem in terms of auditing. What is the not-knowingness level of the preclear? Raise it.